Here is a question for my friends and colleagues back in India. Have you heard the term blended learning? I can visualize your faces right now with a huge question mark. Believe it or not, this was our topic of this week. I was as clueless as most of you are right now after hearing the term. But I have to admit, this was one of the most enjoyable class, packed with useful information. Okay, let me try and give you a gist of what blended learning is all about. Simply put, blended learning is a combination or blend of different online learning modes or of online and in-person learning. Blended learning comes in many shapes and sizes. Historically, face-to-face learning and distance learning happened separately. You all know that. However, today, they overlap, and this overlap brings us the term blended learning, events that combine aspects of online and face-to-face instruction. Sloan Foundation has provided guidelines to decide what will be called a blended course. They say that if 30 to 79% or a substantial proportion of the course content is delivered online, it is blended. But Dr. Bong has a different view, and I agree with his view more than the Sloan Foundation. Any course that uses even 1 to 5% of online interaction, it is a blended course in some way, shape, or form. The traditional instruction gives us a feeling of somebody being there, sense of high humanness and real-time interaction. On the other hand, computer-mediated learning gives us a time to reflect on what we learn. Combining these two modes gives us power because we can reflect, share, debate asynchronously, as well as do traditional classroom activities synchronously. In fact, Dr. Bong feels that these two aspects are going to be blended so much together in the near future that we'll start calling it just learning again. Now this was getting really interesting. I wish that this option was there when I was in school and college. I bet my friends from school are also contemplating this possibility. The immediate advantage that flashed through my mind is the increased opportunity for introverts to participate more in the class. How? Well, through asynchronous options available for them. Another obvious advantage is reduction in physical class or space needs, commuting and parking. Oh, we all have been there, the parking wars. But I think the most valuable advantage of blended learning lies in the fact that it gives the students multiple ways to meet the course objectives, thus increasing learning through effective pedagogy and interaction. Dr. Bong shared 10 blended learning models that are being currently used in various educational settings. All were interesting and focused on different aspects. My favorite one was the IBM 4-tier learning model or degrees of humanness. The first 3 tiers of this model rely on computer-based interaction. They only meet at the end of their training experience. Please see the figure I have added with this podcast. The readings for this week were intense. They prompted me to reflect upon my experience as a special education teacher, and I could see 2 clear advantages of blended learning: inclusion of mechanisms to prompt students to reflect on their level of understanding as they are learning online, and possibility of online learning environments with capacity for individualizing instruction to different learner needs, improving retention. These are big things, especially if you're thinking from special education background. Okay, now moving on to the tidbits of this week. Most of them were really good addition to the material covered in the class. I'm going to talk about only a couple of them here. The first one was about a virtual university. The goal of a virtual university is to serve those who cannot take traditional courses. With over 25 years of operation in education, India's Indira Gandhi National Open University is now expanding its base abroad to function as partners that will allow student enrollment from countries such as Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Kenya, Nepal, Qatar, Oman, Saudi Arabia, Singapore, and other countries. Indira Gandhi Open University has its own satellite in orbit to connect the campus with hundreds of TV stations across the country that broadcast its lectures. Since 2004, the university has also started offering online courses in a system called FlexiLearn, with about 45,000 students abroad enrolled in its web-based courses. Nowadays, we don't just have virtual universities, but we also have virtual schools. Open High School of Utah is a full-service virtual school that received the honor of eSchool of the Month for June 2011. This school serves about 250 students throughout Utah with 9th and 10th grade classes and plans to expand to include 12th and 11th grade students as well. Open High School of Utah offers all high school online through Learning Management Systems technology. In addition, this school uses a variety of technology tools such as Google Apps, SlideRocket, Skype, VoiceThread, etc. These and many other tools have been there for their ability to bring collaboration to the online environment. Check out the school website that I have added here with this podcast. A meta-analysis released by the U.S. Department of Education in 2009 suggests that blended learning model is most effective as compared to face-to-face and online learning models. University of Central Florida is one of the pioneers of blended learning approach, having launched its first hybrid course in 1997. According to the Vice Provost of the Information Technologies and Resources at UCF, it's almost anything you can do online, plus almost anything you can do in the classroom, put together in such a way that you can structure very rich learning environments around any type of content. Frankly, I can go on and on about this. There is just so much information in this class, it is really difficult to condense it in one podcast. Consider this as a peek into the huge world called blended learning and just enter it with your eyes and ears open. Signing off now. See you all next week with treasures from the open world.